So the title of this talk is What We Know. First, start by talking about what we don't know. When we come to a day long like today, come to a retreat like today, what we don't know is what's going to happen. We may have ideas about what's going to happen on the retreat, but we really don't know what the day is going to be like. I mean, if you think about your perception of the day before the day started, or your idea about the day, could you have predicted the way the day went? Pretty much everything that happened would have been something that you wouldn't have predicted. You know, we don't know what the day is going to be like. We don't know what our experience is going to be like. Very little about what happens is knowable. We say, well, I'm going to come to the retreat. You know, but that experience of coming to the retreat, being at the retreat, the experience of the day long, is really unknowable. We don't know what's going to happen. And this, of course, speaks to basic laws that the Buddha spoke to. First, the law of anicca, of inconstancy, that our experience is inconstant. It's constantly changing. It's not consistent. So we can't ever know what our experience is going to be like on a day like today. The other important law that we have to come to understand is the law of anatta, of not self. We sometimes call it not self, but a good way to think about it in the context of what we're talking about is that our experience is not within our control. Our experience of our senses is not within our control. It's out of our control. It's not ours. It's not ours. So we don't know what the day long is going to be like. You know, we don't know what the body is going to be like. Think about how the body was today. You know, all the different experiences and sensations in the body, of pain, of pleasure. Yeah. All experiences that, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know it was going to be like that. How about the mind? How about your thinking? Did you know what you were going to be thinking today? If you really look at your thinking, the specifics of your thinking, you didn't know that the mind was going to be like that. Sometimes we're outraged by our thinking, you know, and sort of the premise would be that we knew how it was going to be. And why is it like this? But we don't know what the thinking is going to be like. What about the hindrances? You know, the hindrances of dullness, restlessness, doubt. You know, we don't know what our experience of the hindrances is going to be like. We don't know what our experience of the emotions is going to be like. It's all unknowable. All of our sense experience. I mean, our experience is basically our sense experience. All the things that we saw and heard. Did you know that that radiator was going to clang at 4:23? You know? Did you know that Harry was going to be doing his walking meditation and be right there at that point at 3:17? All of that experience is unknowable. We had really no idea about what was going to happen today. You know, all of the external experience, right? You know, the heat, the people who were here, the way the people were, what they were wearing, what kind of cushions they were using, you know, when they coughed. You know. You know, I was sitting in the coffee shop at lunchtime kind of going over my notes for the talk. And, you know, I've sat in that coffee shop many times and looked out the window, and, you know, we would think, well, I know what that experience is going to be. Like all those people that walked by, I couldn't have predicted. I didn't know who was going to walk by in any moment. I didn't know which cars and cabs were going to go by. I mean, it was incredibly variable, incredible variation in terms of all the different people who went by and walked by, and all the different cars that walked by at the different times that they walked by. I mean, that's very inconstant and unknowable and out of our control. And it's actually a good metaphor for what our day is like and what our lives are like, right? It's just like that. You know, I didn't know which people were going to walk past the coffee shop or which cars and cabs were going to walk across the go down the street. And you didn't know what was going to happen in the body and the mind on the day long and what the day long was going to be like. And of course, the day long is just a microcosm of life, right? You know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Our sense experience is inconstant. Our sense experience is inconstant. It's constantly changing. It's constantly in flux. It's never the same. It's never the same. Who was it? Heraclitus, who said you could never step in the same river twice. Your experience of life from moment to moment is changing and different and unknowable. And dare I say, it's out of our control. It's not ours. Day to day, moment to moment, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. There's endless variation. You know, we have this perception, we sort of engender this perception of stability, which is just kind of an idea that we have when we pay close attention to our experience. It's completely variable and we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen from moment to moment. I mean, do you know that I'm going to ring the bell right now? Do you know that Joan is going to laugh? Do you know that your butt is going to itch the way it itches right now? Or your nose? I didn't know my nose was going to itch. Did you know the thought that's arising in your mind, what the hell is he talking about, was going to arise at 4:50, 4:30? Do you know what I'm going to do next? Do you know that if I'm going to take this water? I mean, this is what our experience is like. Maybe I won't. Did you know that there was going to be laughter? Did you know you were going to laugh? Do you know what you're going to do in the next second? Do you know what the next moment's going to be like? Day to day, we don't know. We don't know. We get a phone call. We fall down on the sidewalk. I had my apartment painted this week, and the furniture was all over the place, you know. Yesterday morning, I got up, you know, put my bathrobe on, I headed for the kitchen to make the coffee, you know, and then I was going to take, you know, and I was groggy, and I ran right into a little table that I had put right, and there was a plant on the table, and I fell over the table, and I knocked over the plant, cut up my fingers, bruised my knee, hurt my elbow. I sprawled. Across the living room. I sure as hell didn't know that was going to happen. And then I was all flustered, you know, I cleaned up everything, I went into the kitchen, I made the coffee, you know, went back and took my shower, went back into the kitchen, and I didn't put the coffee pot under the thing in the coffee maker. You know, I don't even want to describe. I certainly didn't realize that was going to happen. The coffee maker shut off, so only like half the coffee was all over the counter. Yeah. But I knew that the coffee, the pod was going to be there. It's always there. Oh, I washed it the night before, and I It's not always there, is it? You know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we get up in the morning, we don't feel well. Certain parts of the body don't feel so good. There's different emotions that come up at different times throughout the course of the day. There's different thoughts that come up. Or the, you know, and these are all sort of, you know, sort of unpleasant or painful things, like falling down, you know, but it's also the positive things, you know, you don't know. You might walk out that door after this class and there may be walking down the sidewalk, you know, the person of your dreams. You may fall in love when you don't know, you don't know. The people who are already in relationships, forget about that, but you know, that could happen to you too, you know, who knows, right? Dare I say? You might go home and you might find out, you know, you sold that screenplay. Who knows? You don't know. So, because our experience is so unknowable and because we don't know what is going to happen, you know, this is a cause for fear. This is a cause for anxiety. You know, this is why we have this sort of free-floating anxiety, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. So we try to create stability. You know, the Buddha said we kind of do it two ways. One is we try to create, you know, he used the term food. You know, we try to consume food in a consistent way, but you know, we could think about that as all of our sense pleasures, right? All of our sense experience we try to control so that we have an illusion of stability. Yeah. So, you know, I can go to the grocery store and get this, and I can turn this on the TV, and this is going to be on the internet and all those things, and each day I can kind of get involved in each of those things, and you know, there's this illusion of stability around that. And the other thing he said is that we create our narratives and stories as a way of creating stability. They're fabrications. They're not what reality is, but we create those narratives and those stories. This is the story of my life. You know, this is the story of me as a teacher or as a Dharma student. And then that identity that goes along with that. But those are all just fabrications that we, in large part, or in total part, really, create to develop stability, consistency. The problem is the food and the narratives and the self-identities are all fabrications. They're all impermanent. They're all inconstant. They're all out of our control. They're all stressful. And it requires so much to maintain that food, right? Think of all the stress that goes in, you know, to getting all that food, you know, if it's the actual food or the entertainment or the different technologies that we, or just, you know, the stability that comes from money and possessions, right? This is going to give me stability in life. And this is why the economy is so important, you know? So much pain and stress goes into maintaining that. And then the pain and the stress that goes into maintaining the narrative and the self-identity. It really can't be maintained. It's a constant process of having to consume and replenish. You know, the narrative has to keep, when we're in a constant process of trying to maintain it. The Buddha said it's like, you know, we build a sandcastle, the waves knock it down, and we have to keep rebuilding it. So given that we don't know what's going to happen, given this very unpredictable and fragile state, you know, what can we do? Well, we can try to create the illusion of consistency and stability. That really doesn't work. We see that because it's an illusion and it's not the truth. What can we do? Given that life is completely unpredictable and we don't know what's going to happen and it's inconstant and all of the sense experience is out of our control, what can we do so that we can be happy in spite of all of that? Because we tend to think, well, I can only be happy when I can control my experience, just the right amount of pleasant things and alleviating all those unpleasant things and get the narrative and the story of my life right. Well, what if that isn't true? What can we do? What can we do so that we can be happy in spite of the inconstant and uncontrollable nature of life? Well, the teachings of the Buddha would suggest that we can be happy. We can be happy. So we often talk about how we learn to develop the path, how we learn, in this case, to be happy in the face of constant change and flux, constant vacillation. We learn how to be happy in this life that is completely unpredictable. We learn this first and foremost in the meditation. In the meditation, we learn this. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the meditation, do we? You sit down to that sitting, you have no idea what's going to happen in that meditation. I mean, every meditation is completely unpredictable. Every meditation is completely different. I mean, you think about all the, the 5 or 6 sitting meditations and the 4 or 5 walking meditations. Everything that happened in those meditations, most of it was out of your control. All the different experiences of the body that arose, how the body was in each sitting. A pain here, a pain there, too hot, too cold, all of that. How the mind was in those sittings, all those thoughts that arose, all those different emotions that arose. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in a sitting. A sitting is a perfect microcosm for life. Every sitting is different. Every sitting is different. We don't know what the body is going to be like, what the mind is going to be like. We don't have control over our experience in the sitting. But what we do have is control over how we meet our experience. We don't have control over what the body and the mind is going to be like in a sitting, but you do have control over how you meet that experience. We want the body and the mind to be a certain way. Trying to get the body and the mind to be in a certain way is a sure cause for suffering. That's not the way to happiness, to try to get the body and the mind in a certain way. The way to happiness is to meet our experience with love and with compassion. That's what we have control over. No matter what your experience is in the meditation, you can meet that experience with compassion and with love. That's what you have control over. That's what you have control over. You can meet your experience in that setting. With love and with compassion. There was one sitting today, I got really kind of nervous before the sitting. I felt nervous when I checked my mind before the sitting. It was like, oh, I'm really nervous about this sitting, It's like, I feel like this is one I could really hit it out of the ballpark and I don't know if I can pull it off, It's like, all right, just meet your experience with compassion. That's all you can do in this sitting, is meet your experience with love. I can do that. I can do that. This meditation can be informed by love and compassion. It can be an action that's imbued with love and compassion. I have control over that. So what enables us to be able to meet our experience in the sitting with love and with compassion is heedfulness, right? It's heedfulness. So what does that mean? First, we're heedful of what the mind is like. Oh, there's nervousness in the mind. Oh, I'm meditating with aversion. So we're heedful of what the mind is like, and we put aside anything that's not useful, and we cultivate skillful intention. We cultivate skillful intention, intention informed with compassion and loving kindness. I mean, the Buddha was really clear, you know, this is how you find happiness in life. This is how you find happiness in life. Your happiness comes from your actions, and the, you know, and what determines actions that are going to lead to happiness is the intention that informs them. And as a human being, this is something that you have control over, is the intention that informs your actions. That's what gives you freedom in this life. That's your freedom, is to engender intention informed with love and compassion, and to take action following on that. We have the capacity to shape our experience through intention, through these qualities that we have available to us in the mind and the heart of love and compassion. That's something we know. That's something that's stable. That's something that's consistent. That's something you can rely on. You can't rely on how the body or the mind is going to be in meditation. What you can rely on is your capacity to engender skillful intention and practice with love and compassion. You know, how do we engender skillful intention? Fabrication. Fabrication. We say, I'm going to meditate with love and compassion. In the middle of the meditation, we see, wow, I'm kind of veered off into aversiveness about this meditation. I want it to be, we shift, we see that, that's heedfulness. I'm going to continue on with love and with compassion. And I always kind of somewhat facetiously say, you know, is there anybody here who can't say, I'm going to meditate with love and compassion? Anybody here who can't say that? You don't have to say it in English, even. You could say it in your native tongue. We have other people here who speak all different languages. You could say it. I think I'm going to get it in like 10 different languages. It's like, everybody can say this. Everybody can say this. You go, well, what's the big deal if I just say it? The Buddha said it's a big deal. All that we are begins with our thoughts. You make your life with your thoughts that you purposefully fabricate. All of the Buddha's teachings start with that. We are what we think. We are what we think. We are what we think. We are the intentions that we create. So we fabricate these thoughts, thoughts informed with love and compassion. And the second part of that is, you know, through that fabrication, we connect the head into the heart and those qualities in the heart of love and compassion, which are part of the ever-present truth. Those qualities are in the heart. They're in everybody's heart, just the way they were in the Buddha's heart. They are part of the truth of the way things are. That's something we know. That's something we know. That's something we know. You don't have control over your emotions during the course of the day. I mean, you can put them to the side or whatever, but you don't have control over their, you know, and to a large extent, you know, you're going to get carried away with them and there's not that much you can do about it, or you're going to get caught in them. You know? Your thinking, the way your body is, that's all very unknowable and out of your control. But the heart is always there. Love is always there. Compassion is always there. Now, it may be blocked off, so we need to get to the things that are reliable. This is what's reliable. This is what doesn't die. This is what doesn't die. And this is the way to happiness. This is the way to happiness. The way to happiness is through intention an action that's informed by the intention. That's what determines whether you'll suffer and whether you'll be happy, not your experience. Not your experience. It's how you meet your experience. I mean, if your experience in a very uncertain world is what's going to determine whether you're going to be happy, forget it. I mean, I don't want to even talk about what's in the news. You know, if you're going to let what's in the news, that's your experience, determine whether you're going to be happy. You're going to be miserable for the next 4 years. You know? You're going to let your experience determine what your life is like? Or are you going to take control of your life and take ownership of your life? The way that you do that is through intention, is through using your mind, shaping your life through intention informed with love and compassion, meeting your experience with love and compassion. Whoever wins whatever election you're concerned with doesn't have to determine whether you're happy. What can determine whether you're happy is how you meet that experience. Can we meet our experience with compassion if we're suffering? Can we meet our experience with love? This is why in this practice, what we put our emphasis on is the training of the mind. We're not here to try to manipulate our experience. We're here to train the mind, to train the heart, to take care of the heart. The Buddha said we learn to take care of the heart like a mother would learn to take care of its child, her child. This is where, because what matters is the heart. What matters is, you know, the citta, the mind, the heart. That's what matters. That's what's going to determine your happiness. So we develop the heart. This is why we're here, to train the heart. Because this is what's going to see us through. This is what's going to see us through in this world that's extraordinarily unpredictable and fragile. So we train in the meditation to meet the experience of the meditation with compassion and love. And then we take what we've learned in the meditation and learn to meet all the experiences of our lives with love and with compassion. You know, I always used to say, you know, if you can't meditate happily, how are you going to do all the other things in life happily? So you learn, well, I hated meditation. I did it begrudgingly and angrily, you know? But I was able to learn to do it with love and with compassion, using these skills. These are skills. This isn't mystical. There's a skill that we teach that leads to happiness, if you follow it. Once I learned to be able to meditate with love and compassion, then I started being able to do that in all the other areas of my life. Sometimes it was like, wow, you know, you're doing things and you're in the world in a lot different way. And that all came from doing it in the meditation. So it sort of leads us to the next question. You know, at first I had the question, well, why should we do this? But really the question is, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Well, some of you may not be so familiar with the teachings. Many of you, like myself, are very familiar with the teaching. Why don't I do it? You know, we always say, well, why don't I do this all the time? Why don't I do this all the time if it's that simple? And in a lot of ways, it is that simple. Well, maybe because you haven't tried it, you don't really understand that you can do it, but a lot of you have tried it, and you see that you can shape your life through intention. Why don't we do it more? Why is there this inclination to look for happiness in our experience and in our narratives? Why don't we put the kind of effort into training the mind that we put into, you know, garnering external experience and having our external experience or having the experience of the mind and body be the way that we want it to be. Why? Well, I would submit to you because we don't understand what we're working with. We don't understand life. We don't understand life. You know, until we can understand life, we can't find happiness in life. The Buddha wasn't able to find happiness in his life until he understood life. Because there is that about life that we can know and understand. There are certain things about life that we do know and we can know. A lot we can't know. We can't know what the day long is going to be like. We don't know what each sitting is going to be like, but there's certain things about the experience of life that we do know. That we do know. One thing we know is that, you know, we'll be separated from all that is dear and appealing to us. So, you know, that really kind of fits in with the fact that all of our experience is unknown. And that's one thing that we do know, that you can't predict what your experiences will be. Your sense experience, your experience of life is largely out of your control. So we need to kind of really embrace that understanding. That's wisdom. What did Alan Watts say? You know, the wisdom of insecurity. So that's something that we do know, and we have to bow to that. We also know that we're going to age. We know that, right? I mean, will anybody dispute that? That we're going to age. Is there anybody here who hasn't aged? Is there anybody here who hasn't gotten older in their lives? Anybody here who keeps getting younger chronologically? The next thing that we know is that the body will break down. The body will break down. We know this. You know, we can try all the ointments and salves and, you know, yoga and all those things. The body will break down. That is the nature of the body. We know that. There's nobody yet whose body has, you know, gotten stronger and more, you know, resilient. Everybody's body will break down, will break down. And then finally, what we know is that we will die. We will die. Is there anybody here who isn't going to die? Let me know. See, that we know. You know that you're going to die. You know that your body's going to break down. You know that you're going to age. And you know that all of your experience is beyond your ken and unknowable, and that you'll be separated from everything that's dear and appealing to you. That's what we know. That's what we know. And we have to really know those things. We know them, but we don't know them. And we have to bow to those truths and really know them in the heart. I mean, it all comes down to we will die, right? We will die. Everything is impermanent, everything that dies. Everybody that you know, all those pleasures and all those experiences, everything dies. See, once you understand that and really embrace that truth, you begin to ask the question. And this is what the Buddha had to find out, right? He didn't understand life because he didn't know that he would die and age and get sick and break down. You know, once he understood that, he said, well, given all of that, is there a way to happiness in this life? Given that I'm going to die, is there a way to happiness? Is there a happiness that's true? That's what he was interested in. Is there a happiness that's true? Is there a happiness that's reliable? Is there a happiness that doesn't die? Is there a happiness that doesn't die? And he found that there was. That's the happiness of the heart. That's a happiness that doesn't die. So when you realize you're going to die, then you become really motivated to find a happiness that doesn't die, something that transcends birth and death. This happiness of the heart is the happiness that we know when we meet our experience with love and with compassion. This is the happiness that we know when we set skillful intention and we act with love and compassion. This is the happiness that doesn't die. So we learn to meet our experience with love and compassion. We meet our experience with love and compassion because it's the way out of suffering. It's the way out of suffering. It's the way to true happiness. It's the way to true happiness, to a deathless happiness. Whenever we meet our experience wholeheartedly, you know, in that moment when we're truly meeting our experience wholeheartedly, if it's in the meditation, if it's in listening to this Dharma talk right now, what's it like if you just set your intention right now? Let me listen with love and compassion right now. Let me be here sitting in this room with these other beings with love. In that moment when we, or those moments when we are actually here and listening and speaking and acting and meditating with love, there is no aversion and desire. You know, the Buddha was really adamant about that. There is no aversion and desire in those moments when we are meeting our experience with love and compassion. You know, we come to the heart and we know happiness. We know happiness. And we were working with this in the class on Thursday night, and I had people do, some of you were there, I had people do little triads, and each person had, there was a topic to discuss, and we did the triad, and each of the three people spoke, you know, and then I said, we're going to do it again, and now before you speak each time, I want you to set your intention and have the intention to speak with love and with compassion, and the people who are listening, listen with love and compassion, and then we did it that way. You know, and to a person, it was like completely different the second time. One person said the first time that she did it, you know, she was nervous and she was uptight about speaking and she was uncomfortable. Yeah, and then the second time, of course, the first time she didn't set her intention. The second time she set her intention to speak with love and with compassion, and she went right into a place of ease, sense of well-being, and happiness and freedom. Now, the reason why I tell that story is this is something you can do. This is something you can do. The problem, if you look at that experience, is like the first time that person didn't do it. But this is something you can do. Like right now, you can be here with love. You can be connected to your heart. What's it like when we do that? This is something we can do. And when we do that, when we connect into the heart in the moment, when we're here in the moment, if it's the moment of the action that we're taking of listening, you know, we connect into that happiness of the heart, and that happiness is deathless. That happiness transcends birth and death. It transcends the strictures of time and space. That's true happiness. When you connect into that, I mean, I'm trying to describe something that you sort of can't describe. But when you connect into that happiness, you're free from death. You're free from death. The only way that you will make that effort to do what isn't so hard to do, everybody pretty much in class did it the other night in the dyad, is when you really understand that you're going to die, because then you're going to start to say, well, what can I do that's going to enable me to transcend that death? So you are going to die. If you want happiness in this life, this is what you have to do. This is what's true. This is what's true. When I say it's true, I mean it's reliable. This is a reliable and a true happiness that's available to us in this life, the happiness that comes when we meet our experience with love and compassion. It won't let you down. It's true. It's like a friend who's true. You can count on it in any moment. You can't count on what your experience is going to be. You can't count on who's going to win the election. You know, what you can count on is being able to meet your experience with love and compassion. You know, we can't wait for our experiences of life to be the way that we want them to be. Life is short. You know, if we want to find happiness in life, we have to learn to meet the experiences of this life with love and with compassion, through our intention, through learning this skill. And this is the way to happiness in life. That's why the Buddha often ended his Dharma talks the way that I'll end mine now. He said, you know, over there are the roots of trees, over there are abandoned buildings. Those are places to meditate, practice jhana, practice concentration, because all of this you can't do unless you're grounded and present. Over there are roots of trees, over there are abandoned buildings, practice jhana. Don't be heedless. Pay attention to your intention. Act with love and compassion. Over there are the roots of trees, over there are abandoned buildings, practice jhana. Don't be heedless. Don't later fall into regret. This is our message to you.